We'll just spend one more night on Sheker V'Chazav before moving on to the many other things the Rosh urges you to stay away from. We mentioned last night the Maral. The Maral says even though sometimes it may be true that one is permitted and even obligated and encouraged to deviate from the truth, you still have to remember truth is still truth and falsehood is still falsehood. And what you're saying is Sheker, not Emes. It might be necessary sometimes, but it's still Sheker. There are dissenting views, notably Rav Dessler, Rav Yerucham Levavitz, and I saw B'Shem, the Ali Shur, Rav Volba. They all say, and it's hard to know exactly what the argument is. Is it just semantics? Is there something deeper going on? They all say that no, that which brings to greater Yirah Shamayim, to greater what you're supposed to do, love and fear of God, that is MS, regardless of whether it matches the facts, as Rav Dessler says. That which takes one away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that leads one toward evil, that is considered Sheker, regardless of whether what you're saying is technically true or not. Now, I'm not sure, again, exactly what they're arguing about. Is it mere semantics? I think there's something deeper going on, but it's striking that they both at least express themselves very differently. The Maral says that, no, Emes is the fact. Sheker is not like the facts, regardless of what you're supposed to do, what you need to do. Emes is still Emes. Sheker is still Sheker. These other Acharonim disagree. And, you know, you can relate this kind of to the discussion we had about saying the Ben Ishchai, for example, saying Sheker in order to preserve the Torah. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? If you believe that Emes is just that which defends the Torah, then I guess it makes sense. If Emes is still Emes and Sheker is still Sheker, then it becomes less clear. The danger of this approach, I'd seen this Rav Dessler and this Rav Dessler of Yerucham many years ago when I was looking online just to refresh my memory about what they actually said. So I saw a website which brings these shitas, and the point of this website, this was devoted to free thinking, to attacking Frumkeit. They were basically warning you, never trust anything a Frum person says, because they believe the end justifies the means. They'll say whatever they have to say in order to promote Yirah Shamayim. Don't trust a word they say. So obviously that's a problem, and that leads to the whole thing can backfire, even if in the short term it brings to Yirah Shamayim. One of the most delightful, one of the most charming things I've ever seen, some years ago in the journal Ar Yisrael, I think it was, there was a debate about this basic question. Someone wrote an article clarifying, discussing whether as a Rebbe, he sometimes wants to make up stories to his kids to encourage their Frumkeit. Are you allowed to do that? So I saw that somebody brings us from some Hasidic sefer from a couple hundred years ago, someone says you're allowed to. The proof they bring is that Iyov, one of the books of Tanakh, Iyov, according to one opinion in Chazal, was a mashal. Didn't actually happen. Now, most opinions say that Iyov was actually a true story. And according to this opinion that it was a mashal, then many other Amoraim were making a mistake and believing what was only a mashal was a true story. So the fact that people weren't clear to preserve the fact that it was only a mashal, you see that if stories are good and inspirational, you don't have to be so clear about the fact that it's not actually a true story. But in any event, so in the journal Ar Yisrael, they were debating this question, can a Rebbe make up stories, embellish stories, to enhance the Yirah Shamayim of his students? So in a subsequent edition of the journal, there were some letters written in protest, and one particularly passionate letter by a Hasidic personality actually wrote back a fiery rejection of this approach. And being a Hasidic personality, he promotes this with a Hasidic story. He says, there once was a Hasidish Rebbe. He was davening. In the middle of his monastery, in the middle of his davening, I saw this many years ago, I'm quoting from memory, I'm not sure I'm getting this exactly right, but basically, in the middle of davening, he gave a great sigh, a krecht, oi. So after davening, he turned to his chassidim, he turned to his followers, and he said, you may have noticed, chassidim typically do notice, you may have noticed, middle of davening, I gave a great sigh. Some of you may be thinking that there was some lofty kavana, tsar of the Shechina, the galus, my yearning for dveikus of the Kosh Baruch Hu. You might be thinking that I had some deep and lofty intention here. Nope, it was heartburn or indigestion. It was something I ate disagreed with me. And I'm telling you this, he says, because it's possible that some of you may have been inspired to some level of Yirah Shamayim inspired by my conduct, but that would be Yirah Shamayim based on Sheker. And Yirah Shamayim based on Sheker is either worthless or worse than worthless. So I want to nip this in the bud. Don't derive any Yirah Shamayim from this. It's not Emes. Emes is Emes. Sheker is Sheker. No matter how innocent and how much you think it might lead to Yirah Shamayim, it's not like that. The truth is the truth. Now, again, everyone agrees in some cases you have to lie. If a Nazi comes knocking on your door and says, are there any Jews? I want to kill them. Obviously, the correct answer is no, there are no Jews in this house. So no one's arguing that in some cases you have to lie. But again, it's worth remembering that at least according to some schools of thought, Emes remains Emes, Sheker remains Sheker, and keep that in mind, while there are other schools that say that there's more of an end to justify the means, and that whatever leads to more Yerushalayim apparently is defined as Emes and vice versa.